master of introductions. Let me make sure I can see everybody and see the camera. Good. Ah, it's good to see you all. Oh, thank you. We're not very Anglican, are we? That's good. And looking forward to the conference next week. I'm going to go up and now. Grace Barnes' funeral is on the 14th on Friday, so I'm travelling down and travelling back up in time to help with the sandwiches and whatever. I mean, Howard has volunteered, but he's bought a ticket as well, so I don't know. He really has bought a ticket, so we need security. security volunteers to... I don't know what your expectation is of when Jonathan says, oh, it's Nick's time to speak. You think, oh. Those of you of a certain age and a certain church culture might remember the Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass. And he used to judge sermons by how many fruit pastels he could get through. This is a two-pastel sermon or whatever. And I hope it's not that. I hope your expectation is let's just get through it to the end. Let's keep watch the clock tick round and then we'll get there. Because I think God has been leading us into what he has inspired me to say this morning. And about, you know, the small things that he does in our lives and the encouragements that he brings and the word that he brings. And it's all right for me to prepare here to speak to you all. But as I look out on you, there are, I have not even counted you, but there is a lot of people, different faces, different backgrounds, different stories, different things that you've carried with you to church this morning. And so I have faith that God has something for you, each and every one, individual, in these few simple words I want to share. Let's have that faith and that expectation that God is going to speak to us. Because, you know, we are facing cost of living crisis and all the everything that is going on around us. And most of our attention is on physical things. And yet Jesus was very clear to say that, yeah, those are important, but we cannot live on bread alone. We need bread, but we can't live on bread alone. We need every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I've been really encouraged with the project that Neil talked about in Ukraine, you know, that we've been distributing books and Bibles around Ukraine. And sometimes people have asked, why do we need that? People need physical help. Why are you giving out Bibles? And yet, we cannot live by bread alone. Yeah. And it's very, very much more important to understand that God has things to say to us. And so I hope that your expectation this morning is that God is going to speak. And if you have that simple prayer, Lord, give me something from your word this morning. That's not about my skill as a preacher. That's about my faith in God, in the power of God's word to touch our lives. Okay. So we're on Romans 15, 1 to 3. No, 1 to something. I've written 1 to 3. But it's longer than that. Fear not, there's more than that. Yeah. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. There we are. The endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people, and again praise the Lord all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot in that passage, and there's a lot of time you could spend in Bible college lectures and books and all sorts of things to go through, and there's a lot more than we can cope with this morning in 20 minutes. But if it is to be summed up, let's read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I've read this passage again and again, certain words and thoughts have crystallized out, and a consistent theme emerges out of the words when it says things like, bear with the failings of the weak, build them up, through the endurance taught in the scriptures, through the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him and overflow with hope. And so my question this morning is, what is the ministry of the church? What is the service that we offer to each other? What is the value of meeting together, praying together, reading scriptures together? What is the point of being here this morning? There has to be a point. It can't just be a habit. There has to be life that comes through our meeting together. And the ministry of the church, I believe, is very much about the ministry of encouragement.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. The determined and steadfast commitment to building each other up, strengthening each other, helping each other when we stumble and fall, in order that with one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who doesn't need encouragement? We need encouragement, and that's why we come together. And we have to be prepared to give it and to receive it and to build one another up in this hope, because it is through the scriptures that we learn endurance. It's through the scriptures that we discover this God who gives us hope. And so in the middle of it all, we may overflow with joy and peace. When he talks about overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's not just saying when times are good, not just saying when the economy is booming, we can overflow with joy and hope. But though the fig tree doesn't blossom, though there be no cattle in the stall, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And that's the type of encouragement that we need to give to ourselves and to each other. The first battle is encouraging ourselves. The second challenge is to encourage each other. There's a lot of talk, isn't there, about relevance. Can the church be relevant? And, you know, that might mean me wearing a bandana and getting a tattoo or something. I don't know. Do you think so? Might not be. It would be funny, wouldn't it?
No.
I know, no encouragement at all. But I think the areas of relevance are in relevance like this, that where we can encourage with hope. But people might look with disdain on the idea that we can encourage one another through the scriptures. But in actual fact, this is where we find our relevance in a world that has lost its way, in a world that is hopeless, in a world that is falling apart, in a world that is desperate. As I was driving into church this morning, don't drive into church, do we? As I was coming to the gathering of the believers, I was driving in and I was listening to a really cheerful program on the radio, and it was all about suicide. And I thought, well, we'll put some worship music on in a minute. But it was interesting to hear about hopelessness and brokenness and how it's so much on the increase, and that sense of despair, and people that are working hard to actually put people on the track and to encourage people and to lift people's heads and to say, you know, one phrase that the guy used this morning was, your older self will thank you for hanging around. You know, there was this determination to encourage and to break this hopelessness that is there. And I thought, in the middle, this is secular charities talking like this. This is what people are trying to do, trying to build one another up. But if the church has any relevance, it's in the middle of a society like that. If our hope and our faith has relevance, then of course it's to communicate what we know into the heart of a broken and hopeless society. The dictionary definition of encouragement is this: the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope, and the persuasion to do or to continue to do something. We need each other. We need each other to strengthen ourselves and to encourage ourselves to do and to continue to do what we're doing. You know, we had the baptisms last week, and great, really exciting times. And I know, talking to the people that were baptized, how much they enjoyed that. And I remembered back to my baptism, and when life seemed very relatively simple and very exciting, and there was all the, you know, everything was laid out before you, and you think, wow. And it's true, and I'm not trying to discourage by saying this, but it is true. As you go on in life, things happen, life stretches out, and there is a temptation to allow your head to drop, to become tired, to become jaded with things. And we have to encourage ourselves and encourage one another to do and to continue to do what we did from the start. So this enthusiasm as we come to faith and we get baptized isn't just a flash in the pan, and people, you know, the old hands in the church say, oh, well, they'll learn. Maybe what we need to learn is to encourage ourselves, encourage one another, that exuberance of faith. That isn't just triumphalism. It isn't just jumping up and down and shouting and making a noise. It's rooted in what we know. It's rooted in the truth that sets us free. Our faith comes from God, but its health and its impact on our lives depends on the fuel of encouragement. There is nothing more powerful than encouragement. Without encouragement, the willingness to receive it, we shrivel up and our effectiveness diminishes and we have nothing to offer. You know, when you're feeling discouraged yourself and you go to someone and you're looking for strength, you're looking for help, and they say, yeah, I feel worse. Don't even know why I bothered. I remember one time in our first church, one of the first services that I was responsible for, the worship leader stood up with his guitar, he gave it a strum, he said, I don't know about you, but I'd really rather not be here this morning. You can imagine how it went off like a bomb after that. It was great. And I've remembered it. I've remembered that more than I've remembered a lot of the encouraging things people have said. It wasn't long ago. Yeah. I didn't want to say. One of my churches, I said, that I've been involved in. Right. Yeah, we shrivel up. So we need each other. We need the strength and the encouragement. So the challenge is to have a quality of input to each other's lives that is more than just words and platitudes. Because encouragement can get a bad name. No one wants empty words. It's, you know, there is intense pain. There is suffering. There is challenge in people's lives. And so we don't want words that will just sort of do nothing for those. But this story that I've got for you now, it's not about intense pain and suffering. In fact, but Erica this week had need for encouragement. She had to travel to Skipton. That wasn't why she needed encouragement. But being a responsible type of person, she looked on the sat-nav and it gave her a route and it said, you can avoid tolls this way. So she thought, oh, that'd be good because we'll save some money. So she avoided tolls and it took her through the centre of Leeds. And she was on the phone to me at the time. She said, I must stress that she was on hands-free. Hashtag blessed. God has given us a Bluetooth thing. So she was on the phone and she was trying to navigate her way around the one-way system. And more than once, because the sat-nav was a bit slow, she took a wrong turn. This led to her getting more and more frustrated, shall we say, and worried and anxious that she was going to be late for the course she was teaching. So when she seemed to be going down just yet another wrong road, I summoned all my efforts to issue her some encouragement. You know how it's coming. I said something like, never mind, I'm sure you'll get there in good time.
I was already late.
She was already late. I knew she was already late. Apparently, it didn't have the intended effect. It didn't encourage her. And I had to admit, I only said it because I couldn't think of anything else to say. It wasn't biblical encouragement, shall we say. It wasn't rooted in anything. It was just trying to avoid thinking about a challenging situation by saying something meaningless and saying, I'll ring you back later when you've found your way out of Leeds. It all made me think about this picture that I've seen some time back. Can we put the picture on the screen? Let's hope so. It's coming up. There it is. Soldiers in the battlefield. We need air support. And there they come. You're doing great. Keep it up. That can be our sort of vision of encouragement. That's not the sort of support that's needed. Biblical encouragement is more than just words. More than just deflecting the reality of a painful situation or avoiding confronting the emotion of the struggle just by thinking of something to say. You'll be all right. It'll turn out all right in the end. Cheer up. In order to encourage effectively, we have to be equipped. We have to be equipped in our own hearts. We have to be convinced in our own hearts of the goodness and the faithfulness of God, His ability to hold us, keep us, and strengthen us. Otherwise, our words will just ring hollow. And this mostly comes from putting our faith into action and building that reservoir of faith. Now, I'm not talking about the big, you know, stories of miracles that you hear. Sometimes they can be the opposite of encouraging. It's not that they're not real, but sometimes you think somebody says, oh, you know, this amazing earth-shattering miracle happened, and you think, oh, but it didn't happen for me. But the little things, Jonathan brought it up already, the little prayers that we pray, the little moments we say, oh, God, help, and then you come, Sheila's testimony. You know, we don't know what to do, and then that just that sign that God is with you, just that blessing, just that moment when you see that God is there, and those things get into the bank of our mind and into the bank of our memory, and you remember, actually, God is faithful. Whatever we face in the future, God has shown Himself to be with us. And so we have to develop that bank of experience. R.T. Kendall once said, those who have an experience of God are never at the mercy of those who just have an opinion. We have to throw ourselves onto God continually and actively, putting our trust in Him, and then use that position of strength to lift our heads and lift those around us. Don't be afraid to lift those around us with encouragement. It's what we all need. Doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. It doesn't mean that we can fix everybody's bad situation. It doesn't mean that we can suddenly have the key that unlocks everything that everybody ever needs. But we do have knowledge that God will walk with us through the storms, even when they're long, even when they're confusing, even when they're dark, even when they're more painful than we can imagine. We can be sure and certain that God will walk through it with us because we've been there, we've seen it, we've understood it, and we can encourage one another with it. And that strength that can hold up those who are sometimes weak, and as we grow in our experience and grow into our ministry of others. There are different elements to this process of encouragement. We need to be prepared, as I've said, to give it. We need to be prepared to those who can speak words of hope, words of life. Like I said, it's all done with wisdom, the wisdom of God, the sensitivity. We really enjoyed the listening course that I had with Linda, and she put it so clearly, the value of listening to one another, and then at the right time, that's the key, being prepared to put in the word of encouragement, the word of strength. We need to be prepared to give, and we also need to be prepared to receive and to listen and to digest, and sometimes that can be the hardest thing. I know somebody who was going through a really difficult time and they were really crushed in their spirit, and somebody was trying to help them and they were trying to encourage them, and they're saying, you know, that when you hear the words of the devil coming and speaking in your spirit, you can resist him and you can refuse them, and then he'll simply go away. And they said, oh, thanks, does it work with you as well? They were really, you know, they weren't prepared to listen. But in actual fact, there was truth in what was being said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear and listen to the words of God. And this passage makes it clear. God doesn't speak in a vacuum, but He speaks through the fellowship of the believers. He speaks in the context of our relationships. Yes, He does speak into our hearts, but He confirms it also through what He does, through the connections that we have. That's why the network of relationships in the church is so key and so important. And somebody coming in there, phone a friend. That's good. So it's so important that we encourage one another, strengthen one another, build one another, because that is the way the church grows. It brings meaning to our relationships and to our fellowship. I remember being taught the meaning of the word fellowship, koinonia, Greek word. Don't know any Greek, but I know the word is koinonia. And the fishermen in the Gospels, when they had the miraculous catch of fish, and they caught so many fish that they couldn't actually, and it was going to tip over their boat. They were pulling up the nets from there, and the Bible says that they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come over and help them. And apparently the words that used in that context is koinonia, fellowship. They signaled to their partners to come and have fellowship with them in the task, in what they were facing, in the struggle they were having. And that's, for me, has always been a powerful picture of the church and of fellowship. When we say, you know, let's have some fellowship together, usually it's code for a cup of tea. But in actual fact, fellowship is deeper and stronger and more powerful and more constructive in our lives than that. And we can't do without it. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. I'm so grateful to those who've been prepared to encourage me, even when I wasn't ready to listen to it. I've said things in my time, like, it's all finished, there's nothing left, there's no way back. But people that have come and they've used the scripture, they've used their knowledge, they've used their experience, they've used the truth of the word of God to give me grab points to pull ourselves back up into freedom and into life. The stories that we tell about Sika and the work done in Zambia, we simply would not be here had it not been for the intervention of God, because so many times we thought it can't go on, and we're so grateful that it does. Because of that, and because of many other things, say to you who might be feeling lost, Jonathan brought it up, and I think God is speaking that to people. I think there'll be people here that are feeling downcast, feeling lost, feeling hopeless perhaps, not knowing which way to turn, not knowing what to do, going through the motions, all of that you do. Truly, if I can say, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would not be here today. Psalm 124 says that. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would not be here today. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. That's the encouragement of the word of God. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would not be here today. And whatever you're feeling this morning, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're going through, whatever burden you're carrying, ask God for the grace to receive his encouragement. Not just my words or anybody else's words, but the encouragement of the Holy Spirit who comes alongside to strengthen, to help, and to pull with you in what you're doing. That you will see a difference today as you shoot up those prayers. Lord, shine some light. Give me some hope. Give me some direction. Genuine, grounded encouragement like medicine may not be easy to take, but will always do us good in the long run. So be prepared to give it and be prepared to get it, because it is oxygen to our spirits. When we're left to ourselves, like I said, I just turned the radio on. I didn't intend to listen to a program about suicide this morning, but you turned it on. It's always there. People are terrified, we're panicking, we're whatever. And you know, I tried to list out the things that in 1 week they would like us to think that we are facing. Financial meltdown, nuclear war, disease, political upheaval. There's nothing in the world around us that will actually encourage us to think that better days are just around the corner. You know, the politicians, was it Tony Blair came with, you know, things can only get better, and was it Liz Truss? Moving on up or something, she was there, yeah, all those songs, yeah, it's all great. You know, so that's not biblical encouragement, that's just songs. I didn't mean to let you down, Howard. But that's where a church rooted and founded in the Word of God, in the experience of His goodness and His faithfulness, has a place right in the heart of a world that is struggling. People say, what has the church got to offer? The church has got to offer a lot of things. We do a lot of things. We're involved in a lot of things, but at the heart of it, we have access to the truth that sets us free. And the ability, the bank of experience that says, actually, we've tried this and it's true. And also, if you will put your trust without any question, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your circumstances are, doesn't matter what you think disqualifies you, it doesn't matter. 100% guarantee, if you put your faith and your trust in God, you will find Him to be good, and you'll find Him to be faithful, and you'll find Him to be powerful. That is the encouragement that we need. Doesn't mean there won't be storms and challenges ahead. Doesn't mean that suddenly all the problems will be lifted and everything will come to good, and there'll be beautiful birds singing and everything will be great, sunlit uplands of joy. The storms can be just as fierce, just as real, but crucially it's our confidence and our hope that will give us what we need to endure them. And where do we find fuel for that? In the church, in the heart of the church. As we wrestle, each one of us, with the word of God, and we work out what it means for our lives, and we shoot up those little prayers, and we say, you know, sometimes the most powerful prayer in the world is, Lord, help. Amen. That's all it is. Don't have to be eloquent, don't have to be learned, don't have to be well-read, just have to have the ability to put your faith and your trust in God. And as we read the passage again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should expect. That was Paul's prayer for the Romans, that they would overflow with hope, that MCF would overflow with hope. When we talk about, you know, impacting an area and a society and a community, it's about what overflows, what flows out. It's not just what we can do with finances or resources or anything else. It's about what we can do in our spirits and what impact we can see. That can see people, and then we see it week after week through the ministries and the projects and the different connections that we have with people. Even this week, just noticed how people's heads are lifting, because hope and joy and confidence is coming into people's lives. And that's the ministry of the church, the ministry of encouragement. Amen.